Welcome back to Lake Effect Weekend on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. If you happen to be walking through some Madison neighborhoods, you might notice a peculiar anomaly, poetry embedded in the sidewalk. It's part of a project aptly named Sidewalk Poetry.
Jack Keir is a board member and chair of the Arts Committee of the Marquette Neighborhood Association, who inherited the project when he joined the association 4 years ago. He says sidewalk poetry was inspired by similar installations in Minnesota. The idea is to connect people to their neighborhoods and create a sense of place.
In this edition of Radio Chipstone, Keir treats contributor Jennifer Fields to a reading of a poem by Madison poet laureate Sarah Sadie Busey entitled Somewhere Piano Again.
These are the rehearsal rooms of the brain, strangely echoed, some, and others strangely dead. Wander once more the narrow, ill-lit halls. Rehearsing and rehearsing on the instrument of haunt, reversing again, and overhead through walls, muffled, a someone else, anonymous, not quite in tune, remembered ever, trying and trying, how much we want to get that passage right.
What is it about this poem that brings it to this spot?
The person whose home we're standing in front of now read this poem and said that really speaks to him, and selected it for placement here. And we approved that because we knew it was coming into a bus station area and there would be a lot of people mulling around this installation. And we thought that not only just because of the length of the poem and the complexity of the message of the poem, it would provide people waiting for the buses time to really dwell on it and sort of think about what the message is. So it's really subjective.
It causes you to wonder about your neighborhood and being in this moment right here, right now, and creating a sense of place and feeling like you belong in this place.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. I think that it really speaks to the idea of, you know, where you are and where you could be, and the fact that it's here at a bus stop where people are traveling, clearly, makes them aware of the fact that you have chosen to be in the setting that you are in, and that's something we wanted all of our residents to think about, that this is a great neighborhood to be in. Why is it a great neighborhood? You should be, you know, coming to those conclusions yourself.
And what I also like about it, Jack, is that by looking down and reading this, it encourages you to look up and take in your surroundings.
I think the message for everyone there is to just be aware that everything that's around you is something that impacts your life. So why not impact it?
So how long have you lived in Madison, Jack?
I've lived here since 1994, and very coincidentally, as you're asking me this, we are going to pass my first apartment.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's actually this one right here, 1044.
So now, is this a transformative moment as we sort of saunter down the street to our next poem? Talk to me about the Jack that lived in this place. Did you envision yourself here now doing this?
Actually, I didn't envision what I'm doing now, but I always, at that point, knew that I enjoyed Madison, that it made me feel right at home. And even when I spent my first year at Madison here, I figured that I would be here 20 years later. You know, now I think it's so funny that here's my first apartment and one block behind it is the house I own. So I didn't really move very far.
You weren't kidding when you said you were going to stay here.
Yeah. Exactly.
How do you describe Madison to other people? How do you describe this tiny, what's now been called or being referred to as the San Francisco of the Midwest?
Well, I think it always strikes me on two levels. First, when I encourage people to visit me here, or, you know, I know of friends that are thinking of moving and I suggest Madison, one of the things that strikes me the most is just how rich the culture is with opportunities to do so many different things in sports and art and music. There's just a really vibrant appreciation for life. But then the other thing that I think about is the fact that it's full of more weirdos than I have ever had any opportunity to meet elsewhere. Madison is like a giant pool of unique, crazy, irritating, funny, worthwhile people. You know, for love them or hate them, there's always a week that goes by where you can look back and say, I met a lot of really interesting people this week.
We really do have a good mix of people that somehow figure out how to get along.
Yeah. Generally, there's an appreciation for old systems, you know, the idea of democracy and participating in decisions that affect your life. You know, being a board member with the neighborhood association, we constantly have meetings about new buildings that are proposed or changes to park systems or art that somebody wants to put somewhere. And that all happens with lots of participation. So we don't struggle for finding voices. It's a town full of people who are ready to talk.
So now we're at another one, and we're standing in another poem, and we're standing in front of sort of an iconic building here in Madison, the Wilmar Center.
Yeah.
Tell me about what you know about this center.
It's a place that we all have come to really rely on. They run a lot of programs for youth here, and it's my election polling place, and a lot of community meetings are held here, the farmers market, that sort of thing. So it's really a nexus for a lot of what happens in the surrounding 15 blocks. And the poem that we had installed here is actually not the original poem that we requested to have come here, because the city attorney stopped us from putting that poem in based upon First Amendment concerns.
Really? What was the concern?
The original poem was called The Ascension. It's a short poem, and the idea was essentially a mother lifting up her son to kind of launch him into the future. And we felt that that was a really key idea for here at the Wilmar Center. But the concerns of the city were that the religious overtones of that language could be seen as the city being biased towards a religious installation, and that that could open the door for future installations or artwork that supported ideas that are very contrary to the Madison mission. So this is a poem from Oscar Morales. He is the seated poet laureate for the city of Madison. And it's a very short poem called Promise. Do not empty me like a plastic vase whose silent red rose has wilted. And so that poem we felt would work in substitution for The Ascension, because in some way I liked the imagery, and so did the director, the imagery of this is a center where, you know, we want people to respect young people and see their potential and to identify more with them as the growing flowers that they are instead of, you know, the empty vases that they could be.
The Wilmar Center deals with a lot of homeless population, and it has a food pantry in here. And it's also that idea of seeing someone who is at a point in their life where they need help. Yeah. As something more than an empty vase to be filled.
Yes, and I think that's definitely something that goes along with that Madison mission, that everybody at some point is a little bit wilted. So hopefully your community or your friends or family can do something that recharges you or protects you. And I think we see that with the Neighborhood Association and certainly with the Wilmar Center trying to really protect some of our most needy people. This is our home, and we feel a very strong connection to it. So no matter, you know, what little components get changed or adjusted or tweaked, fundamentally, we're still trying to look at something that's bigger than just the temporary. And that is, you know, this idea that we've been talking about, where that kind of welcoming bond that we've built here is something that we don't want to have broken. And little changes to buildings shouldn't do that. We should be able to exist and protect our home and be appreciative of it.
Material culture contributor Jennifer Fields curates the Radio Chipstone series. The project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts.